And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi. I got you.
Hello, British Columbia, on the radio across British Columbia and around the world on our podcast. Special today, our theme is organics, biodynamics, carbon neutral, with a particular focus on some of the leading players that are implementing these practices across British Columbia. So we'll get to that shortly. Can you believe it? It's week three already of the new year. So much going on. Dine Out Vancouver underway here across the greater Vancouver area. And everybody feverishly getting ready for the Vancouver International Wine Festival. It's only a little over a month away. Over 65 Italian wineries getting ready to invade Vancouver. That is going to be one great week for Italian wine, for wine in general. So if you're not already signed up to go to anything, this may be your last chance to get into any of those events. Now, before we get underway today, I wanted to talk a little bit about Gismondi on Wine. You know, you get a lot of wine information on this show, and a lot of it begins at Gismondi on Wine, because one of the things we've always been about is wine and wine tasting. We actually taste wine. I know there's hundreds of bloggers out there, thousands of people writing about wine all around the world, but very, very few people actually taste wine, sit down in the same environment every day and taste 10 or 12 wines to stay in touch with what's going on. So we're tasting thousands of wines a year at Gismondi on Wine, and you can access those reviews for free. Every day there's new wines that go up on the site, and the best of all is that we probably taste the most British Columbia wine. Well, I know that we taste the most British Columbia wine in the world on that site. And the good thing about that is we taste it alongside all the international wines. So you get a really good sense of where we stand when you look at the score, and in particular, you read the notes. So check that out on Gismondi on Wine. And by the way, we have a highly successful YouTube channel as well, where you can relax, pour yourself a glass of wine, and watch some movies. We've produced a lot of videos over the last 3 or 4 years from, you know, talking to people here in BC and around the world. So check it out. It's all for free. What we do is we need you to go to those sites and engage with them, because that gives us followers and that gives us a bit of pull when we try to sell the odd ad to, you know, pay for everything. But we don't charge you any money. You can have all the fun you want. Now, on the show today, we're going to talk to people about sustainability, organic practices, and in general, the organics guiding philosophies and why it's so big now in British Columbia. And I'll tell you, the short story is because the wine tastes better. That wasn't always the case with organics, but we've learned a lot about agriculture since the beginning. So, Matt Dumain joins us. He's the winemaker at Garnet Valley Ranch in Summerland. This is part of the Haywire company of wineries that Chris Collette is in charge of, and Matt, of course, is the chief winemaker. Taylor Whelan, he's a superstar chef, winemaker at Cedar Creek Estate Winery. He's going to talk about Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir. They've done a lot of interesting stuff in their vineyards. He's going to talk about that and how they're moving forward in trying to preserve the land. You know, all of the folks today will tell you that their main goal is to leave their property better than the way that they found it. Now, Severin Pint, really outstanding winemaker. She grows and makes the wine at La Stella Estate Winery and La Vue Pan, and she's the chair of the Sustainable Wine Growing British Columbia. So I thought, why don't we talk to Severin today about that chapter and what's going on with BC wineries across the province that are getting involved in the sustainable wine growing practices, and what the standards are and what it means when you see that label on the bottle, all of the information that you need to know if you want to support that sort of wine growing. And up next, for a completely different look at it, we go to Vancouver Island to Unsworth Vineyards, and we talk to Dan Wright. This is a very special piece of dirt that was under the ocean hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, now above land. And the Cowichan is a special place. If you didn't know, it was the first area in North America to be admitted to the Slow Food movement by the Italians. That's how much respect they have for what's going on in the Cowichan, where you can buy eggs on the side of the road, you can stop by and buy your chicken, you can buy all your cheese. All kinds of things are going on in that diverse mixed economy, as well as an incredible future for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. Okay, all that and more coming up next on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and you are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. The place for winter adventure and Okanagan wine. Enjoy champagne powder and après-ski at Apex Mountain or Baldy Resort, or step into cross-country skiing at Nickel Plate Nordic Center. After a day in the snow, slow down and experience one of over 80 nearby wineries with an intimate winter wine tasting. Before you go to Penticton, make sure to check the website for information on tasting room hours, winter highway, and ski hill conditions. And for more trip inspiration, go to visitpenticton.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Escape to Tinhorn Creek Vineyards on the captivating Golden Mile Bench in the heart of Oliver's Wine Country. Their wine shop awaits you Thursdays through Sundays from 11:30 to 4:30. Embrace the season with their Blanc de Blanc Sparkling, adding a lively note to your winter wanderings. Explore the wonders of the South Okanagan, where nature's beauty meets the art of winemaking. Plan your visit at tinhorn.com. Ready to welcome you.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and a shout-out to the entire Okanagan Valley from Lake Country, Kelowna, listening on AM 1150 all the way down to Highway 97 to Summerland, Penticton, and Oliver Soyuz joining us on Bounce Radio. On the show today, we're focused on the important environmental business practices in the wine business as they apply to, say, organics, biodynamics, and carbon neutral capture. Our guest is Dan Wright. He's a winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards. Unsworth's going through a major transformation this year with acres of new plantings on the island, a new tasting room, and updates to the restaurant and winery, all with a focus on sustainability and organics. Barbara Banke and her daughter Julia Jackson are the owners of Unsworth. They live in California, but they are world wine leaders in environmental responsibility. Here's our 2023 Harvest Conversation with winemaker Dan Wright at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley on Vancouver Island. Daniel, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Tony, for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Great to have a winemaker. Are you getting some sleep now, or what's happening at the winery? Almost done, or done, or what's up?
Starting to quiet down. All the fruit's in. In a couple weeks ago, just after Thanksgiving.
Oh,
and,
nice.
We're starting to press the reds off their skins. And
okay, let me stop you there. So I know that, but what does it mean when you press them off the skins? How do you decide? What's the thinking process there, and where is it going?
Yeah. This is the part I really enjoy. To me, it's one of the most important decisions in red winemaking, and I spend a lot of time agonizing over it. We're tasting the wines every day. I like to get everyone involved in that, my cellar interns and assistant and whoever's around. And I'm really looking for when the mid palate comes and the wine feels whole, mm-hmm. and the length starts to show, and so it's this I think of it in many different ways, but the balance between acidity and body and tannin all kind of starts to come together. That's what.
Yeah, and a little bit of experience helps too, and a lot of experience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I feel like just starting to wrap my head around the vineyards and Cowichan here. I've been here now. This is my eighth harvest, but starting to get to know these vineyards.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the two things that are the hardest to understand are, you know, picking the grapes, you know, eating them, chewing them, tasting them, saying, okay, let's pick today, and then what you're talking about now, the pressing off. These are key decisions in the quality of the wine. Let's talk about the quality of the vintage, 2023. Not so good in the Okanagan, but was fairly normal. How would you characterize the Vancouver Island?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm very grateful for our vintage here. It's tough when you see your fellow winemakers across the province, having a really hard go at it, and you're on this side, and it's looking pretty good. But it was actually an excellent year. Yields were slightly below average, but nothing too significant.
Yeah.
And the quality was very, very good. We don't have any smoke taint issues. We didn't have any of the frost. Winter damage, no hail, not too severe.
Gee, sounds like a party.
So I don't mean to brag, but it was a very good year, and it was kind of one of those easy years. Things ripened relatively early, and we were able to do our picking decisions before any major rains. And we had a hot, dry summer.
Okay, Dan, now you're bragging now. Okay, all right. We should say, although they didn't get much of a crop in the Okanagan, the quality's quite high, so we can at least depend on that. We're speaking with Dan Wright. He's the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyard. Just a very quick catch-up on you planted a fabulous new vineyard, and I hear the water's in, the pond's in. How are things going in the new vineyard? Does it have a name?
We don't have a name yet. I do have one that I like, and I think there's a couple we're floating, but I'm not gonna pitch it to you. I should talk it over with my team before we put it out there. We're close, but I know we need to get a name for it so we can actually call it properly. It's looking beautiful. It's starting to really come together. There's posts in the ground. It looks like a vineyard now. All the baby vines we planted. It's a 40-acre plantable vineyard.
Wow.
We've got, I think, about 32 acres or so planted. So we have a little bit to fill in next year.
Wow!
32
acres. Is that more than that's planted in Vancouver Island?
It seems like a lot.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
We're coming from our home vineyard at the winery is only about 10 acres.
That's fantastic.
We buy from a number of local growers to make up our current production. And so it's a huge step for us. But the site is just looking beautiful. There is this pond we dug, which is I could talk for hours about it. It's I think a really sustainable solution for water capture in the winter, because as you know, we have plenty of water in the winter and then it goes dry and there's droughts almost every summer now. We're relying solely on that pond water that we capture in the winter and then irrigating the vines with that when we need to, and it didn't go dry. It worked perfectly, and it's already full again.
All right. The
last rains we've had.
I don't want to run out of time here, Dan. I want to talk about two new releases, the Pinot Noir Saison Vineyard, maybe a quick explanation what Saison Vineyard is, and then the Chardonnay. Tell us about these two releases.
Sure. So, yeah, both 2021s.
Yeah.
And 2021 was, I think, a similar year as we just had, 2023. If you recall, it was the heat dome year.
Mm-hmm.
So good ripeness on these wines, but still have that Vancouver Island delicateness to them. They'll be released on April 4th. They're going out to Wine Club first, and then shortly after that, available to others.
Yeah.
21 Chardonnay will be Wine Club for a while until we sell out of 21 or 2020. Still have a little bit of that. I think you can expect sort of the Chardonnay. With the Chardonnay, there's a kiss of oak. Most people won't notice it. It'll taste like a tart, good acidity, cool climate Chardonnay.
Yeah.
A little bit of sort of peachy white fruit. And the Pinot Noir, I have them both in front of me at the moment. It's sort of very aromatic, ethereal. I'm surprised at how open it is today. There's still some grip there, some tannins let it age, but it's showing nice right now.
I always tell people they should comparison taste like a Vancouver Island Pinot Noir like Unsworth against something from the Okanagan, say a Spearhead, one of those, because they're so different, and it's a great opportunity to illustrate why we have different names for different regions and different winemakers and different wines. So we celebrate that in BC, and we've got a lot of opportunity yet to explore. So thanks for taking us through those. I know there's a lot going on. I'm going to quickly run through. You got a new chef, Dan
sure.
Bain, at the restaurant, and the restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Wednesday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8, basically lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Chef Dan's doing some great things. He's always got like a little smoker in the back. He's doing these little projects, and it's always smelling good when I walk by. The new menu is actually being launched very soon. I don't have a date in front of me for that, but I'm tasting, I'm getting a preview of it tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. You see, that's the kind of thing we don't get at Bell Media. There's no chef or restaurant here. We just, we're in a pretty dry studio, but winemakers, I don't know. It's quite a life.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I sort of always, we spoil our staff a bit too, and in especially in harvest when we're working 12-hour days.
Good for you.
Get dinner from the restaurant. So.
And the tasting room, still open year-round?
Yes, open year-round. The hours are Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5.
Okay.
And Monday and Tuesdays, 11 to 4, just slightly shorter hours on those quieter days.
Yeah.
But those are our winter hours. We go a little later in the summer.
Yeah. And people can expect next year, there's going to be a lot of construction going on at Unsworth. Lots of good things are coming down the pipe.
Yeah. So we've got an expansion on the winery and a new tasting room in the works. Now they're a little bit far off to be sort of launching them, I guess. We're looking probably at 2025 opening, rest assured, everyone can know that it's we're still going to be open during construction. We've designed it in such a way that it allows us to maintain our business
usual
while we're under construction.
Dan, such a pleasure to talk to you and have a positive update from Vancouver Island. For folks, it's a quick ferry ride over there to the Cowichan Valley, much to explore, and it's really kind of the Little Italy of British Columbia, if I could say.
Thank you.
Yeah, people should get over there and slow down and taste some wine. Thanks for joining us, Dan. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Dan Wright, winemaker, Unsworth Vineyard. Still to come, winemaker Sabrine Pint joins us. She's from La Vue Pin and La Stella Wineries in the South Okanagan. Sabrine's passion, of course, is for maintaining a responsible footprint everywhere she works, at every winery and every vineyard in the Okanagan Valley.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Attention wine connoisseurs, Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Hi, this is Paige Schultz, Marketing Manager at Visit Penticton. Did you know that Apex Mountain Resort is just 30 minutes away from Penticton? Joining me is James Schulman, General Manager at Apex Mountain Resort. James, what makes Apex such a great winter destination?
Apex offers incredible terrain with over 80 runs, short lift lines, and beautiful champagne powder, plus tubing and skating. We also host some fantastic events such as Vertical and Vintages.
Vertical and Vintages. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
It's an incredible social evening of wine tasting taking place February 3rd from 6 to 10 p.m. All the participating wineries are from the South Okanagan, which is home to over 300 wineries. The Gumbrel Saloon will also be providing an array of tasty appetizers to pair with your wines.
Amazing. Thanks, James.
You're most welcome.
Plan your vacation now. For information on all events and activities in Penticton, and for those looking to visit this winter, go to visitpenticton.com.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wine.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back. We are staying alive. Thanks for joining us across this beautiful province. British Columbia wineries are fast becoming one of the world leaders in sustainable growing practices. And it's an impressive feat when you consider the costly challenges the wineries here in BC face every year. And, of course, in the last few years, with the majority of those challenges being weather-related, it makes a lot of sense to focus on all the aspects of what you're doing at a winery and what the long-term effects could be. It literally means you evaluate everything from how far your staff has to drive to get to work to what type of vessel your wine is packaged in. All of that counts in today's wine world. And with the cold temperatures that devastated large portions of the BC wine country in 2023, many BC wineries have been grappling with the consequences of which grapes to keep planted, as well as they're giving much more thought to which grapes are best for each of the unique plots that they look after the terroir in their own vineyards. Grape varieties that will potentially be more resilient when it comes to weather events, both hot and cold, are now being looked at by all the wineries in British Columbia. All this is the passion of our next guest, and that is Severine Pint. She's a wine grower for La Stella Estate Winery. Here's our conversation with Severine about organics and sustainable and responsible grape growing practices as they unfold in British Columbia. Severine, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to talk to you about sustainability because everybody asks me about it and I say, well, you know, you should talk to someone who really knows about it like you. And so we finally have you here. Let's talk about the sustainability. Why is it even important in the wine business?
Oh boy. I think it's very important because it touches on every aspect of the wine, of the business, of the industry. It starts in the vineyard, and then there's vineyard standard, and then it goes into the winery with winery standards. And it touches on all aspects. So it, for example, for a vineyard, you're going to look at what you do in the, what are your practices. You're going to implement a vineyard management plan. It's going to incorporate your integrated pest management plan, your nutrient management plan, your irrigation management plan. So it forces the farmer to look at what he's doing and then try to apply some simple rules, like what can I do to minimize the amount of water that I'm going to put in on my vines,
right,
and still having some quality grapes.
Yeah, reduce their impact on the environment.
The whole idea, for example, for the, because there's three pillars in sustainability, the environment, the economical, and then the social equity part. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the environmental part, we want to give to our descendants, to our children's, the land in a better shape than we've taken it.
Yeah.
And so what can we do on a daily basis in our actions to improve the land? Mm-hmm. How can we improve the soil health? How can we improve the plant health? How can we make a plant live 20 years to 50 years?
Right.
Because that has some economical consequences.
Including the people that work in the vineyard. How can we not harm them?
Exactly. Those are the big component on the social equity that sometimes people forget about.
Yeah.
And it's about taking care of your people, making sure that simple things as, do we have all the PPE available for everybody? Do we have a policy in place? We live in a place where there's lots of fires. Do we have an emergency plan written?
Yeah.
Was it communicated to all the people? And there's little things like that is essential to the functionment, to managing a business properly, that are laid out into the program.
Yeah. And even I've been talking to some other people about what I like is this business of, like, if we're selling our wine for 100 or 150 bucks a bottle, the people that actually work for us should be able to live in the region and have a life in the region. They can't be, you know, working for nothing for us while we're making money too. So it's all part of the whole thing.
Exactly.
Not confusion, but what would you say is the difference between sustainable, organic, regenerative, biodynamic? How do they all work together or not?
Sustainable looks at the three pillars.
Yeah.
Like if you're organic or biodynamic, you're going to look at farming practices that you're going to apply in the vineyard, like no chemicals.
Right.
Biodynamic, you're going to look at the cycle of the moon. But sustainability is going to look at those practices, but also what is make more sense economically. For example, leaf hoppers. They're very present in the valley, and they can be very damaging. But there's very little organic product that are going to eradicate the leaf hopper. So when you're sustainable, you can still practice organic most of the year. But when you have leaf hopper, you can decide, okay, I'm going to treat two or three panel of this vineyard with that product that is not organic, and I'm going to kill, because the damage that they can cause is more economically dangerous than applying the product.
So for people who see all that yellow tape in the vineyards, that is for leaf hoppers.
Yeah.
I wonder why it's not green. Is it the yellow that attracts them? Or
there
I'm
probably
not sure.
Some kind of color attraction, yes, going on.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I like that. So the SWBC, the BC chapter, they did something interesting. They looked around the world and sort of picked and chose some of the best practices to help form what they're doing.
Exactly. So it's a program that we have to understand that it started back in 2008.
Yeah.
We created the standard and we created self-assessment. And lack of funding, we picked it up again in 2017. And from 2017 forward, we looked at what was done in the world. A, to not redo what was already done.
Right.
And B, to be able to compare and say, if you're sustainable, certified in British Columbia, most likely you're going to be certified at the same level at what people are in New Zealand or in Australia or in California.
Yeah.
And, so that's the way we looked at the world of sustainability when we created the standard and the certification.
And it's like a volunteer, people step up to want to be certified, or how do you get people to do it?
So there's a handful of people who created the standard, helped created the standard that got certified first.
Yeah.
And then now it's a volunteer. So we have a new program manager, Ruth King, and she's actively working at presenting the program and explaining the program and helping people to write a lot of the parts that need to be in place in order to be certified.
Yeah.
So more and more wineries and vineyard are getting certified
right.
and getting on board.
I'm talking with winemaker and viticulturalist Severin Pent about sustainability. Now, let's relate it to consumers. How do they know that you're sustainable, or how do they know the wine has been done using the sustainable practices?
So, consumer, look on the label, on the bottles.
Yeah.
On the there's a little sign. It's a triangle, and then underneath says "Sustainable Wine Grown British Columbia." In the middle says "Certified,"
mm-hmm.
and all the wines that are, have that logo have been made with certified grapes and certified wineries.
Yeah, they've been checked.
Yes.
Somebody's checking.
Somebody's checking,
so,
yes.
So they can go to the website as well to understand all the things that have happened if they're interested in that.
Exactly.
And see the symbol and all the rest of that.
There's a lot of very practical information on the website. It's Sustainable Wine Growing BC.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, Ruth, are also available to for any questions that people may have.
I hear it's gathering momentum, too. Like the number of wineries joining is, you know, doubling all the time or whatever, that sort of thing. From a small base, it's moving up.
Yes, there's a lot of vineyard that signed up this year, and in wineries, the most recent is Quail's Gate Winery that got a certification.
Yeah.
We got the vineyard last year, and this year got the winery, and there's a lot of wineries as well working on it. So we started with five the first year and five wineries, and we're growing up very quickly.
Yeah. What do you think about wine quality and sustainability? Does it go together, or is it a fight? Or
so through the vineyard management plan and the vineyard standard, there is the idea that we're going to be able to. We're looking at the land. We're looking at the dirt. We're looking at improving the soil health and the plant health.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we're going to improve the quality
of the grapes.
So I think this is a very good program for the BC wine industry. There's a lot of us that are working towards that already.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen from the years that I've been here in BC a tremendous increase in the quality of the wines.
Yeah.
And I think this program is just going to pull everybody higher quality.
Well, I think one needs only to go to the Okanagan and look around and see the beauty of the place and expect that the vineyards have the same high standard as the hillsides that they've replaced in some way. So that, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think it's looking at the industry in the whole and looking how we can improve every little steps.
Yeah.
And I can see we've only been certified since July 2021 for La Stella and Le Vieux Pin, and I've already seen tremendous improvement in our way of working. So.
And when we finally go to Europe and all these other countries to sell our wine, we'll be ready by then.
Exactly. When we have the volume.
Severin, thanks so much for joining us, and for all of you, Sustainable Wine Growing BC. You can go to the website and do some reading and catch up and find out what people are doing in BC to leave the land in a better state than they found it.
Exactly.
How's that? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Severin Pent, winemaker, La Stella Estate Winery. Still to come, Taylor Whalen. He's the winemaker at Cedar Creek Estate Winery. He'll talk to us about his passion for organic grape growing and vineyard management north of 49 degrees in East Kelowna and Lake Country, British Columbia.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Join Anthony Gismondi and BC Food and Wine Radio at the 45th Vancouver International Wine Festival, February 24th to March 3rd, 2024. Discover Italy at the International Festival Tastings, featuring 149 wineries from 12 countries. Tickets are on sale now. Plus, get a free tasting ticket worth up to $135 when you book a downtown hotel via stayvancouverhotels.com. Don't wine and drive. The festival runs February 24th to March 3rd at the Vancouver Convention Center and other venues. Full details at vanwinefest.ca.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Many people ask me which wines they should buy. My first question is, what do you like? Because when I know what they prefer, I can nudge them left or right to something similar, but often better at the same price. But if you don't like the wine, nothing I can say will change your mind. Taste is a personal thing, so ultimately, it's up to you to find a wine writer who aligns with your taste and start from there. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and I invite you to visit my website, gismondionwine.com, to find out if we can agree on something to drink tonight.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be
Hello,
so
British Columbia, and a shout out to Victoria and all South Vancouver Island joining us on CFAX 1070. Our guest is Taylor Whalen. He's the winemaker at Cedar Creek Estate Winery. Taylor is one of those thoughtful guys engaged in all aspects of winemaking, and he's got a great passion for organic growing practices. We caught up with Taylor in a windy Okanagan vineyard late last year. Here's that conversation. Taylor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Anthony. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Always fun to taste wine with you and talk about your vineyards and sustainability. It seems to me that the BC Sustainability Program is drawing more and more wineries in now. We see them signing up finally in numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's these kind of programs tend to be kind of slow to get off the ground and then begin to accumulate members, and that's what you're starting to see now. Absolutely, there's been lots of signups even this year. So,
and why, like, what, why is it important for consumers that wineries go sustainable?
Well, it's important for everybody. It's important for the wineries as a business. You know, there's long-term business considerations about climate change and, you know, keeping the valley pristine and beautiful and soils healthy.
Yeah.
For the consumer, the nice thing is sustainability leads to better wines as well. If you're farming more sustainably and making wine more sustainably, you typically end up with higher wine quality in the bottle, which everybody wins.
Yeah. And it's about people, too. It's not just about wine. So that's kind of nice to the people that work for you and the way that they live their lives.
That's right. It's employees, you know, need to be paying fair wages, and people need to be well compensated and healthy and happy, and community wise as well. It's nice for the people that are living around the wineries to feel like the vineyards are being farmed healthily and they're not at risk.
Yeah.
You want to be welcomed by your neighbors, not ostracized by them. So.
You know, I had a quick chat with Laura Catena earlier in the year, and she said that we can't be selling $100 wines in London and New York if the people that work for us don't have a home to live in or a way of life. She said it's all part of the culture, and I thought it was a beautiful way of saying, you know, that this is where we're going. You know, we're looking after everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's not easy, you know. The Okanagan's not an inexpensive place to operate and to live. So, yeah, it takes careful consideration and some generosity to make sure people are happy. Yeah.
So at Cedar Creek, you're focused in you have a focus on the north now. So how does that fit in? What's going on with the sub-GIs? What is the north of Kelowna or the east? Can you explain to our listeners what's going on?
Totally, yeah. So pretty diverse region for how small it is.
Yeah.
And that's mostly based on a couple of things. So proximity to the lake, that big Okanagan lake moderates our climate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then soil type, like how the soils were formed. And in that small, compact area, you got all kinds of stuff going on. There's old volcanic cores, which forms kind of West Kelowna and Dilworth Mountain. You've got East Kelowna, which is a big like sediment fan created by Mission Creek.
Yeah.
And then you've got South Kelowna Slopes, which is really this really beautifully sloped area that was ground down by all the ice that piled up over top of it. And all these changes, all these variations produce really, really different growing conditions and very different wines as well.
Yeah. And do you think people are accepting this now, or they're coming to know, say, well, this is important, or I see why it's different?
Yeah, I mean, up until we formalized it in these sub-GIs, it was more of a, I like the wines from, you know, Cedar Creek and Summerhill, or Tantalus and Spearhead.
Yeah.
Now that we're telling these stories and talking about the similarities between the wineries and vineyards, it's clicking for people.
I love it.
Yeah.
You brought a couple of wines today. I want to spend some time on them, so let's maybe talk about this with this wine in our glass. So we're starting with the Platinum 22 Sauvignon Blanc?
Correct, yeah. This is a freshie, a brand new bottling for us. First time we've made a Platinum Sauvignon Blanc from the north, and I think it's something that's going to have a lot of legs moving forward. We've got Sauvignon Blanc planted in Naramata, in Kelowna, in Lake Country, and the intention is for Cedar Creek to be a big player in Northern Savvy as we move forward.
And you say platinum a lot, so what does it mean to be in a get a platinum label at Cedar Creek?
Yeah, it means you're the best of the bunch, essentially. So for platinum, we're actually starting to follow this sub-GI idea with our platinum tier. So more and more you're going to see not single vineyard wines in platinum, but sub-GI wines like this, which is Naramata Bench VQA.
Which is delicious, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow, I really love that wine because I love the balance in it, the attention, the tension, the acidity, the brightness, and then there's a richness of, I don't know, would I say lees or creaminess in there?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's a cool wine. We fermented it wild. It's all concrete and oak. We had a lot of fun making it.
Our guest is Taylor Whelan. He's the winemaker at Cedar Creek Estate Winery. Do you care about, I know you care, but do you care about whether it's a New Zealand style or a Sancerre style, or obviously it's an Okanagan style, but what do you think about where it is in all those?
In my head, I have an idea of what I'd like it to be, but then you really do have to adjust based on what the vineyard gives you, right? Mm-hmm. So this, for us, I love Sancerre, and I've been there, and I have these memories of it. That was our goal going in, but the fruit's much different than Sancerre, and so you have to kind of adjust, like, oh, this concrete looks really nice, so let's keep it in concrete for a few more months and focus on those creamy lees. And so it's a combination.
It's a bit reminiscent, though. It doesn't have that sort of screeching Kiwi style or Leda style from Chile. So it's a really lovely glass of wine.
Thank you.
People should grab that when they can. Now we're back to the Aspect collection. Let's start with that.
Absolutely. So that's an even tighter family of wines, I guess you would say. And those wines are all being produced from our home block estate up in Kelowna, like the original Cedar Creek vineyard.
Yep.
Oldest blocks, best soils, coolest aspects, no pun intended. These are very small production wines that are essentially the best of the best of what we do. Mm-hmm. And they're all allocated to wine clubs, so you can't actually access the wines unless you're a member of our Aspect Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a tough year. It was a tough winter. It's been a tough year for the Okanagan, and it looks like there's going to be less wine all around, which to me means that perhaps people need to join the wine club to ensure that they might get these wines for the next couple of years at least.
Absolutely, yeah. We've had a couple of hard winters in a row, and so that means supply is going down a bit.
Yeah.
We'll be focused on making as much premium wine as we can, foregoing the entry-level stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll also be limiting access to the wines. If you want the wines, any wines from Cedar Creek, it's a good idea to sign up for the club now so you have access to them.
Yeah. Well, I hear that when the year's kind of winding down, but at Cedar Creek, it just proceeds. Eh? People will come through the entire fall and winter months at Cedar Creek, and how do they best enjoy what's on site?
Get in touch, hop on the webpage, or get in touch with our tasting room, book an experience. We've got all kinds of different levels of experiences from kind of an entry-level tasting all the way up to a very curated luxury tasting. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, home block restaurants open all year as well, and they're very busy up until Christmas and New Year's. So it's a great time to come to site and kind of get into the festivities.
All right, back to the Aspect. Now, this is the 2020 Aspect. How? Let's just walk our people through this wine if they're listening. They don't have it, but maybe they should have it. But we'll drink it for them while we go through it.
That sounds great. Yep. So looking at it in the glass, it's a beautiful kind of cherry color. There's a tiny bit of cloudiness in it because it's unfined, unfiltered. Hop on the nose. Once again, you see these dark cherry notes with a little bit of like a dried leaf, forest floor type thing going on.
Yep.
And then on the palate, it's not a shrinking violet. There's a decent amount of weight and texture here, and that's
but it's very silky.
Tannin. Yeah, absolutely.
You think the tannins are well managed, I guess.
Yes, we try and manage them well. They don't like it sometimes, but yeah. So 30-year-old vines, that helps a lot with those tannins as well.
Yeah. Well, the OGs call it the heartbreak grape. Do you believe in any of that, or what?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
You do.
Yeah. It's funny, like, I do make a little bit of Cab Franc and Syrah as well, and it's so much easier to make those.
You can go home at night when the Cab Franc's cooking,
that's
but
right.
Not the Pinot.
That's right. No offense to my winemaking brethren, but Pinot is the hardest, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. Is there a wine that you haven't made yet that you want to make?
Yeah. At Cedar Creek, in the new plantings, we have Gruner. Veltliner planted.
Oh, wow.
And we have Gamay Noir. And I have never made either of those varieties.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to get into both of them.
Yeah, they could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It seems like there's more and more interest. Like, I mean, obviously, people in the wine business are very interested in white wine at the moment. And maybe Italy's leading the charge with so many different ones. But I think we have an opportunity here, given what's available in a valley that's 175 kilometers long or whatever, to do a lot of interesting stuff.
I think so, too. I love drinking white wine. I drink more white than red myself.
Yeah.
You know, our summers, they're 6 or 7 months long. It just makes sense that we would produce a lot of white wine here as well. And as we expand northward or up the valley walls and higher altitude plantings, we're going to see some more beautiful whites, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. CedarCreekBC.ca
yes.
Is where everybody can go to get information about these wines that we've been talking about and many others. And really, folks, if you haven't joined a wine club, now is the time because the supply will be tight for a couple of years, and it's the best way to get what you want ahead of the crowd. Taylor, always great to catch up with you.
Thank you, Anthony. Nice to see you.
Have a great fall, winter season. Maybe a bit of a rest.
Yes.
And we'll hope for a bright new season in 24.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Good to see you. That was Taylor Whalen, winemaker, Cedar Creek Estate Winery. Still to come, Matt Dumain, winemaker at Garnet Valley Ranch in Summerland. We get Matt's perspective on organics from beehives to thoughtfully designed sites that integrate with the wild natural landscape that envelops Garnet Valley Ranch in Summerland.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Your next corporate event or retreat deserves the best. The Watermark Beach Resort. With conference spaces to host large or small gatherings, they can create your perfect event or gathering. Enjoy the culinary excellence of 15 Park Bistro, open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Make sure to follow them on Instagram and Facebook at 15 Park Bistro for the latest updates on their brand new dinner series. To make a reservation or learn more about events at Watermark, just go to watermarkbeachresort.com.
Visit Penticton this winter for mountain adventures and South Okanagan wine. Experience the quieter time of year at one of the nearby wineries that stay open year-round and enjoy an intimate winter wine tasting. Stop into the Penticton Visitor Center for discounted lift tickets to Apex Mountain Resort for a day in the snow. Penticton is the perfect destination for your winter getaway. Before you go, check the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, and webcams for current conditions. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wine.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back. Our guest is Garnet Valley Ranch winemaker Matt Dumain. We caught up with Matt last year at the winery in the very serene Garnet Valley Ranch in West Summerlin. A lot of horses up there and now a lot of grapes. Owner Christine Coletta has been one of the most active leaders and vocal supporters of sustainable, responsible vineyard practices at Haywire and Garnet Valley Ranch, and a leader amongst BC wineries in going green. Here's our conversation with Garnet Valley Ranch winemaker Matt Dumain. Matt, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Diner. Good to be here again.
It's great to be here with you. We're going to talk a bit about the big new venture, Garnet Valley Ranch, which is fully blossomed now, almost ready to go. I hear you almost have a license up there as well.
It's looking really nice up there, yeah. So we get our manufacturing license in another week's time. So we're halfway through construction on a...
I heard you say you never have to leave the house now.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. You know, the winery's looking great. Outlook's all operational for tasting, and the winery's going to be in completion for this harvest.
So. And you had a pretty good... you avoided most of the deep freeze. It's been so far decent.
It's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we're a lot better off than a few people further down south, I understand. But it's a... patches here and there, but we shouldn't be suffering too much by any means.
I think you're pretty used to farming anyways, right?
Yeah, it's with the way the property is set up, even though it's quite a high elevation, it's really slopey, so it gets really nice wind flow, and that tends
that
to
drainage,
you know, drains a lot
helps.
Of the cold away. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I want to get right to the wines because sometimes we run out of time. So let's talk about the new releases from Garnet Valley. We're going to taste the Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, but there's also a traditional method sparkling that's out in the market as well.
Yeah, so we did a 2016 traditional, which is 50-50 Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. It's been sitting on terroir for about 5 years now, so
fantastic.
Just recently disgorged. It's looking really good. Zero dosage, of course, as is our style. We don't like, you know, sugar encumbering the actual vineyard.
Why is it so interesting to spend 60 months in the bottle? What's happening that really, you know, makes that wine special?
It's just you get a lot of that yeast breaking down, that autolysis characteristic. So it's really nice secondary notes, bready, brioche. For me, again, it's, you know, it's all about developing
complexity,
texture and mouthfeel in the wine. So
we
have beautiful natural acidity up there. So extended lees aging just, you know, pairs so well for a textural aspect.
You know Switchback very well. Is it completely different in a place like Switchback versus what's happening up in Garnet?
I mean, the farming regime is pretty similar with Duncan, but, you know, Switchback is a whole separate entity by itself. It doesn't taste like any other Pinot Gris in the Okanagan, I don't think. Minimize the yields. We really stress the deep watering cycles. So, you know, we're getting a lot of intense... richness and mouthfeel in those wines as well.
And Garnet itself, like, is it, how many years is it now? Is it, it's got to be 7 or 8 at least.
First plantings were 2013.
Okay. Yep. So is it what you thought it would be at this point, or more or less or different?
It's definitely coming into its own. I mean, with the high elevation and the soil type, it's, you know, it's taken a bit longer to come online than, say, a conventionally farmed vineyard on the valley floor. It's very much what we expected. It's very delicate, very ethereal, really good acidity, which we always knew would be in place, and which, you know, is a hallmark for Haywire and OCP.
Well, let's talk about your Chardonnay. What's the game here? What's the goal besides doing nothing?
I mean, the goal with any of these Garnet Valley wines is to really highlight the vineyard primarily and the Okanagan as well. It's everything's a whole bunch pressed, so we're not beating anything up. where the fruit that Duncan brings to us, you know, runs through the sorting table, but we might pull out a leaf or two, and that's pretty much it. His farming is pretty meticulous.
It surprises me that it's tropical. Like, it's got this beautiful fruit in it. I was thinking it wouldn't have that at that elevation, but it's really, really fruity.
Yeah, we picked it a touch earlier as well. It probably comes in around 22 bricks. Mm. You know, for us, the key is the balance and the acidity.
Yeah.
You know, there's no enzymes added to it. There's no racking as juice. It's a relatively warmer ferment, around 20 degrees Celsius, and that takes place in concrete, some very, very neutral puncheons, and some amphora. And then we'll top them up and age them for a year in those same vessels. So, you know, there's a distinct lack of oak, so the vineyard is the primary focus.
Creamy, though. Lovely texture.
It's again,
you would think, some people might think, well, there's oak in that. It's not, the oak. It's the,
again,
it's
once
texture.
The wine's in tank, I mean, we leave it alone and we watch it. We monitor it heavily, but there's no need to rack anything until, you know, a week or two before bottling. So so it's staying on its gross lees, and that's just enhancing the mouthfeel quite heavily.
Lovely. What would the alcohol level be in this wine?
The Pinot and the Chard are both 12.5%.
Wow. So. Wow. Congratulations.
Just means you can drink more.
That's an amazing amount of intensity and flavor for 12.5% wine.
Yeah, and for relatively young vines, I mean, every year the complexity and the depth of flavor gets a lot more intense as well. So it's an amazing vineyard site, and we're really, really lucky to have it.
Yeah, so this wine is out now. By the way, people soon, they'll be able to go up now to the Garnet Valley Ranch and actually taste the wine on site.
1st of June, you can make bookings through the Haywire website. I think there's 3 or 4 tours per day, and yeah, you'll get
to... I imagine these are Tudor tasting tours with Matt Domeen.
Occasionally, yeah, we've got a pretty highly trained bunch of people up here, so you know, you'll be driving around the vineyard looking at all the blocks.
Yeah,
it is the highest elevation vineyard
which
in Canada,
which is great.
And then into our brand new concrete built tasting room called the Outlook
which is a great
private
setting.
Tasting.
By the way, highest elevation, what is the elevation for people who are asking in their heads roughly?
The highest point are just above 2,500 feet.
Wow, that is high.
Mm.
That's among the very highest in the whole region then.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple down in Oliver, but they're shy by a few hundred feet, so.
Yeah. Okay, over to the Pinot Noir. A different animal.
Same regime. We have a Delta Ocellus here, so there's no actual mechanical shearing of the berries. It's a very, very inertia, gravity-driven de-stemming machine. It's the Cadillac of de-stemmers. You get essentially 100% whole berries in there. We put a little bit of whole bunches too. I like the herbaceous aspect and the mid-palate tannin structure you can get from whole bunches. Probably 4 weeks on skins. Everything's plunged by hand, minimally, twice a day, just to keep the cap nice and moist. And
Matt, that's a beautiful wine.
Basket pressed, back
wow.
into concrete and amphora. Maybe an old barrel here or there, but you know, when I'm saying old barrels, we're talking 10 years plus. So.
Yeah, you don't feel that, but what you do get is you get a bit of Okanagan in this wine, which I really like. So. You know, this is a Pinot Noir from the Okanagan. You get that sort of desert. There's a desert scrub, something, just a hint of it, but really just sort of, I don't know, winding its way through a really silky, deliciously styled Pinot Noir.
Awesome. Thank you.
Really nice wine. What do you think about the aging potential for these two wines, the Chardonnay and the Pinot?
Well, the acidity is fairly generous. It's not searing by any means, but you know, we have relatively low pHs and a decent acidity, so you know, I'm comfortable in looking at these in 10 years time quite easily.
Wow. Well, Matt, always a pleasure to chat with you about these wines, and I'm happy to hear that you'll have a little winery up there.
Oh, it's going to be
very
great.
Soon.
Yeah, please come and visit.
Thanks for joining us. By the way, OkanaganCrushPad.com/Garnet Valley Ranch Winery, all the details on these wines and visiting and all the things you can do in the Garnet Valley. That was Matt Domeen, winemaker at Garnet Valley Ranch in Summerlin, and that's it for today's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stuart Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi. Have yourself a great glass of wine this week.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.